Okay, the recorder's on, and this is World Affairs Monthly, and I have Mr. Charles Nenner on the line. Charles founded the Charles Nenner Research Center in 2001, from 1997 to 2008, he worked for Goldman Sachs in both New York City and London, and actually he was the head of market timing there at Goldman Sachs. Just a brief bio of Charles, for those that don't know much about him. From 1985 to 1997, he worked as an independent technical analyst and financial consultant to banks, brokerage firms, and government agencies. And in 1979, he's a medical doctor. He graduated from the Amsterdam School of Medicine, and he worked as both as a general surgeon and later as a psychiatrist. And of course, then he got into the financial markets a bit after that. Charles can be found on the net at charlesnenner.com. That's the Charles Nenner Research Center. And of course, I should mention, this is the second interview we've done. The first was on September 1st, 2022, and that's published at destructivecapital.com. Great to talk to you, Charles. I hope everything's going okay. I've been watching what's going on in Israel, and I'm thinking, well, maybe we should talk about that. But no, we're going to talk about the financial markets. So my first question, I've got about seven, and the first one is a really pretty interesting question. I start with that. Describe your views, Charles, of the history of the stock markets, going back, centuries, of course, in the United States and Europe. Summarize what you think is the meaning of the stock markets, its purpose, its function. Of course, I'll say that pretty much everybody realizes that the stock markets mobilize capital, ideas, technology, and that's a powerful and useful function. And describe what you think the future of the stock market is, capital markets in general. So that's it, Charles. That's my first one.
Well, I think we're in major trouble over here for a long period. The Americans and the Fed really overdid it with printing the money.
Yeah.
And they depended on short-term rates being low, but they're not low anymore, so they owe a lot of money.
Right.
And now what we have going on is that most of the world doesn't trust them anymore. So I'm sitting in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a firm in Dubai, so I'm a lot in Dubai.
Okay.
And actually nobody trusts the Americans anymore.
And
if you really look under the surface, which most people can't, but they can because I look with government, is that they're dumping the U.S. bonds and buying gold.
Yeah.
So they don't trust the whole situation anymore.
Wow.
This is what people have been talking about for the last 15 years, and always said it's too early. But now, as you know, we got these BRIC countries. We got India, China, Brazil, even South Africa is joining, and Saudi Arabia wants to join. And
yeah.
I think soon the dollar is not going to be the reserve currency anymore, which means that people will not accept that there's so much debt outstanding in the United States.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing is close to a collapse.
Yeah. So you're basically saying that what's built up over, many, many decades, the debt, basically the debt, is causing a lot of dismay and anxiety all around the world. And they're wondering, okay, well, we can't trust these folks anymore. That's basically what's going on.
Well, after 1929, they decided they run after Keynes, and Keynes says if you take care of the money supply, you're not going to have big depression anymore. So they have been postponing, and every Fed president from Greenspan and to Yellen or whoever says, not under my supervision, I don't want to have a bad name. So they postponed it, but now we're in real trouble. Apart from that me, as you know, I am from Holland.
Yeah.
And I hear what they're thinking in Western Europe, and nobody has any idea what the United States is doing right now. I gave as an example, if Putin would say, I'm going to take my military and my rockets and put them in Mexico, close to the border of the United States, I don't think the United States will say, well, that's allowed because Mexico is independent, can decide whatever they want.
But
that's exactly what it's in Ukraine.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's getting out of hand because they're getting more heavy weapons. At a certain moment, something is going wrong.
Right.
And we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, it really looks like we're at the end of the terrible cliche, but we're at the end of the road, right? I mean, we got the debt buildup, then we have this war in Ukraine, and people around the world are wondering, well, what's come next? What comes next? it's got to be
well,
a big.
What comes next is that the I'm surprised that the population of the United States doesn't know. Maybe they don't know that Russia has these supersonic rockets that cannot. There's no shield against the United States, so
yeah.
They can detect states without. And people are like, I used to say that when Rome was burning, the senators had a discussion about. If angels were masculine or feminine, that's really the historians fight us.
Oh, wow.
And Rome's burning, and now United States is burning, and we are fighting over who goes to which bathroom, which is exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah.
Yes.
No, you're absolutely correct. I agree totally with you. Now, do you think that that there is some realization that this is pretty dicey and we need to try to rectify it?
Well, as you know, maybe that one of the things I do is I build these war cycles going back 3,000 years until the Mandarin Empire.
Okay.
And I've been saying for the past 50 years that in this period we're going to have major wars. It's getting ready like in the First World War and the Second World War, you had teams.
Mm-hmm.
And now the teams that are getting together is China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. And I think the West has no clue what's going on. I heard that, I hope you don't, you know, I'm not too pessimistic, but I heard Americans say that, you know, we're dealing with a Korea that is nuclear. So we deal with Iran that's nuclear. The only difference is Koreans don't like to die and Iranians want to be martyrs, so they don't mind if they die. So how are you going to deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is just oblivious to what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watch the channels from time to time in the United States, and the problems they're dealing with are not real problems, and nobody wakes up. So I'm afraid that we're going to go into a major situation,
okay.
And it's not going to end well.
Yeah. Well, I suspect you could be correct. In fact, I've had this impression for many, many years. And in fact, I remember I was talking to a guy, his name is Colonel William Kintner, and he was a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy, and he was advisor to Nixon and General Haig. Anyway, we got in discussion many decades ago about when he was alive about how, you know, there hadn't really been a big war in a long time. And if you don't have a big war in a long time, then you can maybe expect one. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying also is that, you know, I hear already that the Americans say that if Ukraine will stop the war, or then we're going to rebuild Ukraine, and all the big American companies are going to go over there and make a bundle. So that, you know, as a hesitation, but that could be one reason why the war is going on there, because all those firms are going to make a lot of money rebuilding Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you think there's going to be any resolution anytime soon? I saw that Donald Trump said that he doesn't think there'll be any kind of resolution until, at least until the election. What do you suspect?
I don't think, what I suspect is that the West will go too far, and Russia is really going to put in very heavy weaponry, and I hope it's not going to lead to a World War III. But interesting thing is, you know, I have a lot of subscribers, and questions to ask is where should we go?
Yeah.
And I said, well, listen, now in Israel happens to be the only country that I know that has a total shield against all the rockets.
Okay.
And thank God my wife is from Brazil, so we can always go to Brazil and get a bit out of the area, but this is what people are thinking about. I mean,
right.
Where people are really thinking, where should we go? What are we going to do?
Yeah. Okay. My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the last time we talked, what has changed in your thinking? I didn't listen to it. I'll listen to it. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to it before this interview, but do you recall basically what you told me? That I recall that you're not really changed your opinion too much. It's basically
saying. No, but just, I just find it my mission to speak up more.
Yeah.
Because
I do
financial forecasting, not political forecasting, but it's so simple what's going on.
Yes.
And I think, you know, maybe if I wake up some groups of people.
Yeah, you should.
Something. So these days I decided to speak up.
Good. Excellent. Now, if you wanted to summarize this situation we're in, you know, in a couple of like five sound bites, what would you say? You know, you've already said this, but I'm just curious. Recapitulate what you think.
Well, depends about what. I mean,
about the war, the fact that, you know, the debt in the United States has risen to a pretty high level. We're paying a lot of debt service costs. You know, the whole thing seems to be melting down, right? Ukraine, everything's
right. Yeah, I have friends that live in New York. They don't go out until 6 o'clock at night.
Right.
We got the whole thing at the southern border, which I have no clue what the Americans are thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
What they're doing over there.
Right.
So whatever they do, I mean, there is a theory, and actually it's practice, as you might know, that for a long period the Dutch were the main leaders in the economy in the world, and then it was taken over by the British, and it was taken over by the Americans, and it always has like a maximum of 250 years. And if you go back to the Civil War,
right,
the 250 years of the United States are over and it's in decay, but I could not imagine that it will go this fast. It decays so fast that in a couple of years, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, people don't realize again, if the dollar is not going to be the reserve currency, just for people who are younger than me, just to remind them, what happened was when Nixon was president, they decided to decouple the gold price from the dollar.
Right.
And that's when that started. And then Kissinger went to Saudi Arabia, and he said, well, then let's quote oil in dollars, so now it's coupled to the oil price.
Mm-hmm.
But since Biden has such a weak situation going on in the Middle East, and nobody trusts him anymore, it seems now that Saudi Arabia wants to go in the BRIC countries, and then the dollar has no basis anymore.
Right.
And, you know, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, you're confessing that really without the Arabs using the dollar for their oil business, the dollar's got to be facing a lot of trouble, difficulty.
Yeah. So that's why I see that's a way, because I work with different governments in the world, and they're just loading up on gold and selling American bonds. The Chinese are doing it. The Russians are loading up on the gold, and something is not very. Situation is very unstable.
Yeah. Now, if that continues for a couple of years, they're probably doing it as slowly as possible, not to cause too much alarm. But, you know, after 3 or 4 years, it'll become obvious that everybody's selling their bonds and American bonds and going to gold. So, you know, maybe it's going to be a couple of years before the public wakes up to the reality of this situation. What would you say?
Well, it's not so simple, because I wrote a piece that it really gets very bad and it can confiscate the gold and silver.
True.
So I have clients who what you can do is you can transfer money to Switzerland, and then they buy the gold and silver bars over here and they store it for you for a small price.
Mm-hmm.
But I told them after that you have to go yourself and find your own locker, because who knows what they're going to do. And it's really, I heard that in Davos, because, you know, I didn't go there, but I have my friends over there from Goldman Sachs and all the firms that I work with.
Sure.
They want to go as far as making a digital currency, you know that probably, but that will lead to, I give you an example. You want to go to Mexico on vacation, and they will say, why are you going to go to Mexico? Because you were happier going to Mexico, and it's not good for the climate. And you're not allowed to buy tickets to go to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So this world is going to be total change. And there seem to be some people in charge that seems to be what I call very narcissistic. And the whole thing is going to collapse. And this is the first time I really speak out with you and with others.
Yeah.
Because
you,
5 minutes to 12.
I'm so happy you are, Charles. Now, are you... I'm glad you're saying this because, you know, I'm pretty upset as well. I mean, I kind of look up in the morning, I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, what? You know, so for example, you got this Silicon Valley Bank in Santa Clara County, you know, liquidated pretty much in a couple of days. And then you have Credit Suisse, you know, which was obviously weak before that, goes down, had to be bought by UBS and with the good graces of the Swiss government. So, I mean, and you have other banks that are teetering, like Deutsche Bank. What's your opinion about the banking system, Charles?
An institution actually built a Deutsche Bank, and it really looks very bad. I don't know what's on the cover on the banking system, but the whole thing does look very bad from all sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know how we're going to get out of this mess.
Yeah. Now, if the 1945 2022 world, you know, and that's, of course, I'm talking about the Ukraine, you know, being in, subject to Russian invasion, that world is sort of, you know, pretty much gone. And the question is, you know, everybody asks, oh, okay, what's coming next? So if you had to, you know, guess, you're in the forecasting business, what would you say is, let's say we're talking in 3 years, you know, we're going to talk before then, but let's just say 3 years out. What would you expect the world, you know, you're going to take a wild guess.
Let's then analyze what's going on with Russia, Ukraine. I just, you mentioned 1945. After 1945, the Russians were in the eastern part of Berlin and Poland, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then Brzezinski, who was then the advisor of Carter, said we have to push back the Germans as much, the Russians as much as we can. So they told the Gorbachev, who was kind of a weak leader, was a nice leader when he broke down the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, we stopped the NATO over here if you withdraw. So he withdrew 500,000 soldiers, and one of them was Putin.
Yeah.
And then after that, they made the Minsk agreement. And I have to tell you that the West never kept the agreement with President Putin.
That's right. They deceived him.
Yes, and Putin says, why are they doing it? Because the United States has been the last 100 years in 15 wars. Mm-hmm. We have only been in one war, and that was pushed upon us.
Yeah.
And they have the doctrine that they want to destroy Russia. And now that Russia is being backed by China, they still don't wake up because between us, I mean, if China invades Taiwan, I don't think that the United States has any chance bringing the whole fleet over there and trying to stop the Chinese.
No.
So they have no clue what they're dealing with. They have no clue that Iran is nuclear,
right,
and they don't care about anything. So I don't know who's going to save the situation.
Right. Now, do you feel that, you know, you and I are talking about this, and we understand the truth, but do you feel like your friends and others that you know, you know, around the world, are they thinking like us, or are they kind of delusional?
Well, I work with governments and big banks and also small investors, and they see how we I should mention that. So we use the system that I developed and I was doing the investments for Goldman Sachs all these years.
Yeah.
That can tell you exactly what happens, which day, which level. It takes away the at random moves, you know, exactly what's going to happen. So since that happens, and since I'm pretty correct about my war cycles, people also expect or they think that I know how this continue. The only thing is that nobody knows what's really going on.
Right.
I mean, why is this thing going on with Ukraine? In the end, I guess the solution is Ukraine says, okay, we're going to be neutral. And then they could have said it from the beginning. And then millions of people are going to die. I mean, it's beyond me what's going on over there. So I'm forced to predict as much as I can now how the situation is going to develop, although my expertise is in finance.
Sure, sure. No, it's not really a fair question, but I'm sure the audience would be keen to know what you suspect could happen. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Obviously, none of us do. But if we don't make an effort to end this war, things could get very, very bad. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, between us, and we're not anti-American, but if you have Russia, China, North Korea and Iran. You think the United States has a chance?
No, obviously not. Yeah.
So nobody realizes that, and they keep pushing and pushing and telling the world what the world should do, and nobody cares anymore, and they don't wake up.
Right.
So it's a big problem.
Yeah. Now, you went to medical school, of course. I mentioned that. And now, as a student of human behavior and human biology, is this surprising to you that we're facing this kind of situation?
Well, let me tell you how I got into finance. When I did psychiatry, it's a funny story because I did 3 years of surgery.
Yeah.
And it was physically too difficult for me. So I said, let me do psychiatry. At least I can sit in a chair. And that was a good choice.
Okay.
And then I was a part of a team that wanted to know if people became psychotic in certain periods of the year.
Okay.
All over the world. And that's how I found the first cycle. So let's say every 53 days, the more people psychotic, because we knew already that if it's full moon, more women are giving birth than if it's not full moon.
Hmm.
You don't, as a doctor, you don't know how it works, but you better have your steps double because they're coming in. So that's the first time I knew about cycle.
Okay.
And then I saw a program from CNBC when I was in New York on vacation. I said, well, that doesn't make sense. Let me see if it also works in cycle. So all these things work in cycle.
Yeah.
And there are also social unrest cycles. So there were a 60-year cycle. So in the 60s was a lot of mess. And now 6 years later is social unrest again. So all these cycles come back.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, if these cycles are there, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And my example is, after the winter comes the summer, comes the winter. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
But if you know, you can buy your winter coat.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
So
yeah,
it's still worthwhile of knowing what to expect.
Yeah, you're obviously not going to be able to change anything, but at least you can prepare for what's coming.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Now, I suppose if we, like I said, I it's great that you want to tell the truth, and I'm all for that. I'm thinking, though, that if we don't make an effort to solve this fundamental problem, moving from the old world to this new world, we're going to have a catastrophic situation. That's what I'm thinking.
I just think it went too far. I want people still to sleep tonight after they listen to us.
Yeah.
But I think that there's no way back anymore.
Right.
Because Western Europe is just doing whatever the United States says, and they have no clue what they're doing.
Right.
And the United States does whatever they want. And it's just a crazy situation.
It is. Now, explain why you think Americans are at this situation where they're kind of oblivious. I mean, are they living in their little fantasy world, or what is going on? Could you put yourself in their minds, their brains?
Well, I have friends in the United States. They don't learn history. They have no clue how things come together, how they function.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They have no insights in all these things that are going on. Because
right.
If you ask an American, why are we sending billions of dollars to Ukraine? I don't know if anybody has a reasonable answer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, there is this. When I was growing up, I'll make this, put this statement on the table there. When I was growing up in the 70s, I'm 64, and I used to kind of think, well, Americans are, I've never been to Europe. I'd never been to Europe, a young guy. And I was really interested in the world, but everybody that I knew in Santa Clara County there, in the San Francisco Bay Area, was sort of oblivious. They were living their good life, and they didn't really care what happened in the world. The world's far away. Europe and Asia are far away. And I think this could be the fundamental issue. Nothing is really going to affect America because we're so far away.
Yeah, but they should have worked to remember what happened with Pearl Harbor. It doesn't work that way all the time.
Yeah.
So the problem with the Americans is they don't know what the right thing is to do. They don't know what the moral thing is to do. I don't know how they decide that they know that.
Right.
But at the greatest economy in the world, but if you go to, for instance, I come from the Netherlands, or you go to Belgium, or what, the level of how people live is much better. People have like 2 months vacation. I mean, where I live, the shops open at 10 o'clock and they close at 4 o'clock.
Right.
And everybody has a great life. But it's what they call the American dream. I don't even know what the American dream is anymore because the European dream is much better than the American dream.
It is, yeah. Well, for example, Boeing seems to be having difficulty and Airbus is doing great.
Yes, it's as an example.
Well, it's pretty discouraging. So you're thinking again. I'm just going to repeat. You're thinking that this war in Ukraine is signaling that we have a really serious problem.
Well, let's hope that Russia wins, because if Russia starts losing, I mean, they're not gonna lose.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna lose. No, they're. Yeah.
So then we're in big trouble.
Right, right.
And somebody can explain to me, because the only thing is that NATO went far enough. Now they wanted also to include Ukraine.
Right.
Why? Because the Brzezinski, which also people that are younger don't remember,
Has
his doctrine that we're going to push the Russians to the east.
Right.
And what they don't understand is that these Russians really went to bad times. They had the First World War, they had the Second World War, they had the Russian Revolution.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not fearful. They happen to be fearful of their rockets being 100 miles from their border.
Of course.
I think that's very reasonable. And what I don't understand is that in the United States, nobody brings up that Kennedy was prepared to have a world war because he didn't want to have the rockets of Khrushchev in Cuba.
Mm.
But Cuba is further away from the United States than Ukraine from Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nobody ever brings that up.
No, no. Yeah. Well, isn't this situation kind of reminiscent of other big turning points in history? You know, the Turks sacked Constantinople, 1450, something like that. And, you know, they got rid of the Byzantine Empire, just destroyed it. And, you know,
we're destroying the United States because we have no clue which terrorist is coming through the border. And I still don't understand. I heard that the illegal people, not that illegal people, I mean, not an American, can vote. And somebody says, why can they vote? He says, well, we want them to have the experience that they can vote. What kind of an answer is that?
It's crazy. it's crazy. Yeah. I know. Well,
it's like they want to just be as fast as they can to destroy the United States. I have no other conclusion. But like I said, I'm not an American.
Right.
And I see it happening. And I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I just like to look at the facts.
Yeah.
And I wonder who is running this country these days.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I agree.
Do you know who's running the country? Biden is not running the country. Who's
no, I don't think Biden really makes any decisions. In fact, I was, you know, I'll be really blunt with you. When he said, Biden said it was a couple of months ago or, you know, pretty recently, he was asked, what is the United States government going to do if the Chinese attack Taiwan? And he said, we would defend Taiwan. And I said to myself, I was almost incredulous. Yeah, I said, come on, you know, we're going to defend Taiwan, right? Sure.
So let's go back into history.
Yeah.
Actually, Taiwan belongs to China, right? You had the guy Chiang Kai-shek who ran away.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't catch him, and he started something in the island. But actually, it's just China. So firstly, why do we decide that it's not part of China? But what I heard was even worse. When they said, is Biden going, I don't know, to Ukraine or somewhere else? And then this lady, the new lady that's the press secretary, says, no, we will not let him go. So I thought, who is we then?
Yeah.
She said, we will not let him go. Who is we? So nobody knows who's in charge.
No. It's like a clown show. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a very scary situation. And, you know.
You're right, it is.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's a power vacuum. right? I mean, like you said, no one really knows what's going on. No one knows what to do. It's, Putin probably with his advisors, you know, said back in February, well, you know, we're just not going to tolerate this anymore, right? Basically,
well,
said.
I won't tell. And the other thing is, because I know a little bit about the situation, it's not only that, it's also the social situation. They don't want the nonsense of the United States coming too close to Russia.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're much more conservative, they're much more religious,
right,
you know, and
right.
they want to keep all that nonsense out. So that's another point why they don't want it to come too close.
Sure.
Like I said, the only solution is that Ukraine says, okay, we give up. We're not going to be part of the NATO.
Right.
And then everybody dies for nothing.
Right.
Let's hope it stops there. And I don't even know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
I know, Charles.
Points the wrong way.
It's bizarre. Now, how about this question? Were you surprised on that 24th in the morning, February 24th, 2022, that the Russians were going to go in?
No, I tell you why. Because my cycle showed that the wheat prices were going through the roof.
Right.
So that means the cause and result is often different. So my system shows that something's going to happen, but we don't know what. For instance,
right. Okay.
We were in zero stocks before the virus came out, and then we knew why we had to be in zero stocks.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I see that the wheat price goes through the roof, it means that there's going to be a war over there. So you can, the cause and result, like you do in quantum mechanics, mm-hmm. is the other way around. So mm-hmm. we're not surprised.
Okay. Now, I had a second question here. I might as well, you know, it's there's a group out there, whatever we call them, that, you know, very skeptical of technical analysis. You know, they're going to say, well, come on, there's nothing to it. You know, what kind of defense would you put up to that?
Ask people what's technical and what's the definition. The definition today of technical analysis always is that you draw a line or you look at support and you look at resistance and then you need to call technical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
The system that I developed and we invested all the prop traders invested all money of Goldman Sachs with great success is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
We know in advance which day a market goes up, how many days, how many weeks it goes up, and how high it goes. That's a total different. That's artificial intelligence. That's
mm-hmm.
something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're just basically using computers to analyze the upswings and the downswings.
No, not really.
No?
The thing is that first you have to believe that things don't move at random, because if they move at random, then nobody knows what's going to happen in the future, right?
Okay. So it's not random.
It's a saying, I didn't make it up, that says, you know, predicting is very difficult, especially if it concerns the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So once it doesn't happen at random, you look. So like for 2,000 years, people see an apple falls from the tree down until Newton says, hey, maybe there is not at random, maybe I can find a theory, and that's how you develop the theory. So once you believe things don't move at random, now you have to understand how they function.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have media that bombard the people the whole day with all kinds of stories,
mm-hmm.
and the interesting story is, if you said they can say, well, is the dollar going up? Well, the dollar's going up if we don't have so much inflation. And how do we have not so much inflation if the Fed lowers interest rates or not? And does the Fed, that he doesn't know. So actually he doesn't know anything. And then usually they end by saying, well, nobody knows. And that seems to be acceptable, that they say nobody knows.
Nobody
so
knows, yeah.
If you don't know.
And you're saying it will, yeah, it's possible to understand. Yeah, I agree. It's possible to understand.
So already 40 years ago, I developed this whole system again. When I saw that in certain periods, people became more psychotic than less, I said, well, maybe they become more psychotic in the market also. And when they become psychotic, they overbuy or they oversell. And you know exactly how many days between the tops and how many days away to bottoms. It's not so difficult. You take a chart of 100 years Wall Street Journal,
mm-hmm.
and you X where the tops are, and then you start counting how many weeks it's from top to top. And then you find the cycle.
Mm-hmm. So would it be fair to say that you believe and you argue that we're at the end of a big cycle? Because I was arguing that many years ago, you know, that eventually it's got to come, the top of huge cycle.
Yeah, it's called the super cycle.
Yeah.
And it's the whole thing is not, like I said, even started in 1929, and they cannot keep it going anymore. They cannot continue to print money.
Right.
The cycle shows that inflation is going up. Whatever the Fed does is not going to help.
Right.
So interest rates will go up to the same level as in the 80s. You can have 16, 17, 18% interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a joke, especially if nobody trusts the dollar anymore.
So you're thinking, as I probably, I argue that really raising interest rates not gonna squash inflation. Is that what you're thinking too?
Yes, it does. They want to protect the 2%. They must be dreaming, because if they would just, you know what worries me about, if Powell speaks, he says, well, it's data dependent.
Yeah.
We're going to decide next
time. Yeah.
You don't have a cycle. You cannot predict what happens in half a year. That's very scary.
Yeah. Dependent.
You have no clue.
Right.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, no.
We want to go back to 2% inflation. Why do you want to go back? Maybe 3%, 2%. How do you come up with 2%? Maybe
right.
4%?
Well, if the debt service cost is, say, 20%, I believe it's now about 20% of the hard cash revenue of the federal government, the debt service cost, right? And if it's 20%, and that's gone up to 20 because the interest rates have gone up, right? So how do we get out of this situation other than liquidating the debt we have, right? There's no way.
No, but the problem is that, like I said, the Chinese are dumping the bonds. You know, the Dutch people have about 90, if there is an auction, Dutch people, their own people, have 99% the buy of the auction.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think your 60% didn't check it anymore, goes in Chinese hands. So if the Chinese are selling the bonds, the interest rate will shoot up and shoot up and shoot up.
Yeah.
And then people run up with the dollar, and then there's a huge inflation.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to realize what's going on.
Right.
So not only in a military point of view, we should be a little bit different, have different attitude towards China, but we Americans, not we, but Americans are depending on China.
Yes, of course. Yes. Well, it's really curious, Charles. You and I are talking. You know, this is all obvious to us, you know, and yet every morning we wake up and the same madness continues, right?
Yeah.
You got any explanation for that? I mean, it's bizarre.
Then I have to go back to my psychiatry book. And see
I think you should. No, I'll plainly put it again, just really plainly. If you've got inflation and it's going up, and of course, you've got the COVID type inflation, you know, so you destroy the whole system and then you fire it back up, you're going to have some what I call growth induced inflation. All right, fine. There's going to be some of that. And it's going to work out of the system eventually. Okay, it's going to get better. But if your debt service cost is 20% of your hard cash revenue, then clearly you're very likely printing money to pay for the debt service, or pay the bills.
Yep.
So most of our inflation is very likely to be driven by the need to pay the bills. For example, I was looking into how much of the federal government revenue goes to the three transfer payments, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And it's about 70%, all right, 70% of the revenue that we get goes to those three transfer payments. Then I said, well, wait a minute, what about all transfer payments? So I looked that up. It turns out that 87%, maybe even 90% of the federal government revenue, Charles, goes to transfer payments of all kinds. So
yeah, let me give you an example. When I was a doctor and somebody had lung cancer.
Yeah.
And because he always smoked, and the family came to see the patient, and then they said, let's step out of the room because we want to smoke a cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
No, so this is what's going on. So if you would really if we really tell the people what's going on, it only becomes worse. So the only thing you can say, well, it's not so bad, we're going to manage it. What do you want to say?
Control? Yeah, you're right.
So that's what they did during the crisis of the 30s. It says it's under control, and, you know, J.P. Morgan is going to step in, et cetera, et cetera. Don't worry. So, you know, I understand. You and me probably would do the same thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I think in the 30s, according to what I've read, in the 30s, I don't think anybody really knew what was going on. In fact, they kind of figured everything would bounce back, and it didn't, you know. So there was a...
In the 1870s was also a terrible period. So people who know something about history, they knew that there will be a big problem. But, I mean, they used to say, oh, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. So I understand, you know.
Yeah.
What do you want to say? We're all going under? No, then we're all going under. If Biden says, listen, we saved this bank, but all these banks are going under, we can't pay for it anymore, which could be happening, so that will make things worse. So I understand why people don't feel it.
Yeah, there's a need to be, feel good, feel okay, you know, feel happy, right? Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, as long as you can. I mean, nobody's worried about the new housing crisis when mortgage rates are doubling and shooting up. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so in the military, you know, for example, the military, I'm not even sure we could even win a war. You know, let's just say we go to war with somebody, whether Chinese or Russian or whatever. I don't even know if we'd be able to do it for more than a week or two, because we don't even have any factories. We can't make weapons. I mean, the whole thing's a debacle.
No, because what I understand is over Biden, so it's cutting on the expenses for the military, right?
Yeah. Well, they increase the budget, but most of the military spending goes to personnel. So you just employ people. You know, you have millions of men and women, you know, employed in the military, but they're not really doing much of anything.
No, and I guess they're just hoping that they you know, they have a good job and they don't even realize they can go to war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because who would like to go to war? This is what I don't understand.
Yeah.
It is the old cowboy and Indian situation. The cowboy is the good guy, and the Indian is the bad guy. And I really don't want to be disrespectful, but if you become a soldier, right?
Right.
And now they send you to Afghanistan. And then you have to fight, right? Because you cannot be hurt. You have to fight. At which moment did you become a hero?
Yeah. Well,
so I don't understand this whole attitude.
You know, it could be, I just thought of this, Charles. It could be that, for example, you went to medical school, right? Amsterdam. And you had to enter the institution, right? You got your degree, you went into the hospital, you know, you're working a little bit. It's then that you realized that really isn't for you. Correct?
You know why it wasn't for me? And most doctors think that, but they won't tell you that. You know why it wasn't for me? Because a lot of people that I had to treat, I didn't like.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What I'm suggesting is that we are forced to enter institutions, right? We're forced to do something because that's the way everybody does it, right? But then we realize once we are inside that it's not really correct. There's nothing good about it. Isn't that the situation we're facing? You know, we have these institutions. Everybody's doing what they've been doing for, you know, we have the parliament, we have the Congress, we have, you know, all this stuff. We have the medical schools, we have it all. But is this the correct way to do things? Maybe not. Maybe it's all obsolete.
Yeah, but you have to be politically correct. Let me give you an example, and now people are going to be upset with me.
Okay.
What I am waiting for is that the leaders of the black community will go out to the community and say, guys, don't resist the police.
Yeah, I'm sorry, didn't hear you. Guys, don't what?
Don't resist the police.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How come they don't say that? You probably would not fight the police. You would not run away.
No, of course not. Of course not.
So why don't they tell them that?
I don't think they have the intelligence. People are going to be upset about, you know, what I'm saying here, but I'll just, both of us are going to get in trouble. No, I don't think they have the IQ or the intelligence to understand that it's you're just gonna, you know, be quiet and like you say, don't resist.
Well, why can't the black leaders speak up, guys?
I think they don't have the intelligence either.
Well, somebody can tell them that. I mean, like, we just about how we talk about how we can never solve any problems. This is one thing that, as a European, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Speak out. Say that, guys, you know, it's going to end better if you just sit in your car and don't fight the police and don't run away. And
right.
I'm flabbergasted. It never happened. It doesn't happen in Europe.
Right.
Who would go and fight the police if he's being stopped? Nobody.
Yeah.
So you can so why can't we solve the problem? Because we cannot tell actually what we think is the right solution, because it's politically incorrect.
True.
And that's why we're going on.
True. Yeah, but well, I agree with you. But don't you think, as I said, that there's a failure to understand what the reality is?
I think people really understand, but they're afraid to speak
up. Yeah. Well, take for example, schooling for youngsters, right? So you have in Europe or all around the world, right? Everybody goes to school, right? Youngsters go to school. And let's just call it the high school years, you know, from teenage years. All right. They finish their high school years. They graduate, whatever you call it. And they can hardly read, they can hardly write, they have very few skills, and yet we continue to do this, Charles.
Yeah, but let's what we also continue to do is we see that there's shootings in schools. And I never hear that they look what happened over here. So I would if I would be in charge, I would teach the kids stop bullying other kids, because one day they all got out of control and they take a gun and they start. I never hear that.
But bullying is what children do. That's what they do.
but one day, you know, your friend is going to take a gun, is going to start shooting at you.
Of course.
But I never hear that. I never hear that advice, because we don't make the conclusion that maybe something has been done to him and he couldn't handle it anymore.
Right. He's lost control. Yeah. Yeah.
So
no, you're right.
But you're not supposed to talk about it.
Well, again, though, if you're going to school, you're forced into this situation where, you know, there may be some children that are going to get bullied, and then there's going to be the bullies, and maybe you just need to dissolve school, Charles. You know, school is not working. It's a failure.
Yeah, that's from an intellectual point of view, but I'm just talking from a physical point of view. I never hear on television.
No, I agree. Yeah.
And let's take kids together, let's make a forum, and let's discuss with them. Guys, do you understand that you can be bullying?
Yeah.
But these are days different, that somebody can get a gun and they take revenge.
Right.
Stop doing it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
The solutions are there. So I'm an outsider. I see the solutions, but nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it.
Same thing trying to save the United States militarily and economically, because nobody says what's really going on.
Right. Again, though, you got the Wall Street Journal, you got all of these famous publications, New York Times, you know, everybody's, you know, the elite in New York City and Washington, they're pontificating about this situation every day. And yet, are they going to listen to this interview and agree with us, or are they oblivious? That's an important question. Now, what are they thinking, these people?
Well, let me tell you that there has been research on Wall Street, on the big firms, and they came to a conclusion that if you want to make a career, you have to be an optimist and not a realist.
Oh, really?
And if you want to sell newspapers, you have to be an optimist and not a realist, because nobody wants to hear the bad news. I mean, if you watch a television station, it's always buy, buy, buy. It's a buying opportunity. It's never a selling opportunity.
That's true.
Nobody will watch you anymore. You don't get advertisements.
Yeah.
So it's a whole system that's based on lies. And there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, if you have the brains and the stamina, you can look through it, but most people don't really know how being worked, or, you know, how they work on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I see the problem, and I have no solution.
Yeah. It seems to me that the fundamental issue, and my sons and I have been talking about this recently, that, you know, most people, call them ordinary people, you know, normal, nice, ordinary people, they almost universally accept what's going on. They just accept things as they are, right? And then you might have the elite who question what's going on. So if most everybody's just going along because they know they have to go along, isn't this, you know, no one's really challenging the system.
There's a poem, and I cannot repeat it, but it went something like this. When the wind goes against black people, I said, I'm not black, so it's not none of my business. And when the wind about against homosexuals, and I'm not homosexuals, that's not my business.
Yeah.
And when it went to women, it's not my business. And now it again go against me, but there's nobody left to stand up for me.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's the problem. There's nobody, soon there's nobody capable of standing up anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say, you know, we're going on 50 minutes, by the way. So, but, you know, we could talk again in a week or whatever. We'll talk again, Charles. But
yeah, let's just stop 5 minutes. I'm 5 minutes markets because we want people still to make some money. So the major thing is the stock market is going down till later this year.
Okay.
And just before the summer, we're getting a nice substantial rally in gold and silver. That's where it should be.
Okay.
And those are two interesting things.
So you're saying that there's going to be a lot of negative opinion. People are going to sell, and they're going to go into the precious metals because the inflation is going to be persistent.
No. We like I said, we my system doesn't deal with why, only what's going to happen. Maybe there's a war. Maybe we don't know. We
only
know that gold price starts in the bull market.
Yeah.
In the summer, that is substantial, and you can join that. And why? We'll talk in half a year that we know why that happened.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't.
Well, it is.
But don't go button fishing because this market is still very.
Okay. And now, do you think the dollar is going to hold up for a while, or you know, because the dollar strengthened quite a bit in the past year or so, and then it's weakening now.
A little bit, maybe a couple of months, but the buying power of the dollar is going down and down.
Going down,
and down.
Yeah.
The dollar goes up.
Okay.
It's like the dollar. And the moment that these BRICS countries are ready, I think it will be before the end of the year, then we have a big, big problem with the dollar.
Okay. Well, look, Charles, why don't we agree on talking again in a couple of weeks if you want? It's up to you. And it's great to hear your voice again, and I hope everything's okay. And I get up in the morning and I say to myself, what the hell? But yeah, all right. Well, look, all the best to you, and I'll be in touch.
I'm sorry I couldn't be more positive.
No. It's good. No, it's excellent. I think most everybody is realizing that we're right, but. You know, no one's, the institutions are just, they're the problem, the institutions. If we didn't have NATO, do you think we'd have this war? No.
No, of course not.
Right? NATO is the problem.
Yeah, and all the weapon industry that makes a lot of money out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, there's also the cultural stuff, but NATO is the principal problem. If we didn't have NATO, I don't think the Russians would be agitated at all, and they'd say, okay, fine, we're okay.
Yeah, I agree. We totally agree upon that. But, you know, we're not strong enough, the two of us, to change anything.
Well, like
maybe
I said.
Let's find the third person. Maybe then we can.
Yeah. Well, like I said, though, I'll let you go in a minute here, but if we have this 1945 system, right, and it's endured till now, well, now we need something new, but getting to that new situation, it looks like it's going to be pretty difficult. Is that correct?
Yeah, but just for your listeners, it's interesting to see there is a 100-year war cycle, and that means it's every time in the second decade of a new area, so that's now in 2020, right? The second decade of, and if you go back 100 years, you get the first World War. And if you go back 100 years, you get the Napoleon War.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would Google major wars around, you know, the second decade of a new century, you see that there's a perfect 100-year war cycle. How is this possible? I don't know. And every 100 years, there's a major war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every 100 years, sure.
All right. There's a lot to know. On a personal level, you can take care of your family if you know what to expect.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Charles. Well, look, I'll email you, and we'll schedule the next one whenever you want.
Okay.
Take care. All the best to you. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.